Chloe Jager. So my question was, what is the history of the Big Prawn in Ballina? I've always lived in this area and I drive past the Big Prawn every single day and I always think it's such like a random landmark. And I just wonder, like, why did they want to build it in the first place? Were people like excited about it? Did they think, oh, it's going to be an eyesore having a large prawn in the town? So that's why I was curious about it.
That's our curious North Coast question asker, Chloe Jager from Wardell. Well, the Ballina Big Prawn began life very differently from what it is today. It was first built without a tail on top of a service station. Two Hungarian brothers, Attila and Louis Mockery, developed a number of service stations around New South Wales and decided to build big things to help attract road trippers to their businesses. The big sculptures were built as tributes to the main industries in each town. Goulburn got a big merino ram, Taree a big oyster, and Ballina the big prawn. To help find out the history of the big prawn, I turned to the ABC archives and found an interview with Denise Martin. She's the wife of late South Australian sculptor James Martin, who designed the giant crustacean. Mrs. Martin says her husband was extremely proud of his first major work.
The oyster was being sculpted by an Adelaide sculptor called Anthony Colangelo, and for some reason Anthony couldn't finish it, and so the brothers, Lewis and Attila, rang the art school where Jim had been a student, and they said, we need a sculptor to come and finish this off. And that's basically how he went to Taree to finish the oyster. And Lewis and Attila were so pleased with what he'd done that they asked him to do the prawn.
Denise Martin says her husband came up with the design for the 27-metre-long prawn in a Ballina motel in 1989.
He was put up in a motel in Ballina and went and bought some prawns. And he took them back to his hotel room and he just used to study. He studied these prawns until they went off and then he'd throw them out and get another one. He did some of it in his motel room and some of it kind of walking the streets of Ballina, you know, looking at the site, looking at the prawn in his hands and trying to work out, you know, the form, trying to get the form of the prawn and then obviously scaling it up.
James Martin designed the big sculpture to be 30,000 times larger than a real prawn. In our quest to uncover the history of the big prawn, we found North Coast author Robin Osborne, who has fond memories of when the prawn was first built.
My memory of it driving backwards and forwards between Lismore and Ballina over that period of time was as it took shape. It was an amazing thing to look at. I mean, it was a, you know, concrete structure laid on wire. It had about 7 tonnes or so of cement that was all applied by hand onto this sort of wire netting framework. And as it gradually took place, you could see it sort of becoming a prawn. But in the beginning, it wasn't quite clear exactly what it was. But it was really an amazing piece of construction. But what was particularly interesting when it did open was that it had a very narrow, almost spiral staircase inside it that you entered when you went into this complex below that had a, you know, surprise, surprise, a fish and chip shop and a restaurant and a gas station and other things. So you entered through the building rather than the outside, and then you went through an internal staircase inside the prawn. And by the time you got to the top, you realised you were actually in its head, and it had a large, or two, large perspex eyes, and you could stand inside there and sort of look out over the countryside.
Mr. Osborne has since written 2 books about the big prawn.
I didn't see it then, although maybe a little bit differently now, as a sort of kitsch object, you know, one of Australia's highway bigs, because it was actually built for a reason, and that was to commemorate Ballina's prawning industry. Now, the prawning industry, which was pioneered by a guy called Jim Haynarts from quite a well-known local family, who had a trawler in the early days and actually pioneered the method of netting for prawns and Ballina.
Given its location at the time on the Pacific Highway, the Big Prawn was a regular attraction for thousands of visitors each year. But the future of the prawn hung in the balance when the service station closed in 2010. A year earlier, Ballina Shire Council had voted to allow the prawn to be decommissioned. Robin Osborne says it was public pressure that saved the big prawn from being torn down.
And the speculation was it was either going to be taken to the dump, up on the Gold Coast at one point. Somebody else said it was going to be taken down and resurrected up on the Gold Coast, and there was no sort of comment. Nobody would actually say what's going to happen, and there was a petition from local people that attracted thousands of signatures. I think it was a Facebook petition to save it, to save the big prawn. And Ballina Council somewhat reluctantly got drawn into the debate and said, yes, you know, we're in favour of keeping it, but we can't see what circumstances, you know, would decree it being saved. And then lo and behold, this major hardware store comes along and announces that it's going to save the big prawn.
Andrew Marks is the general manager of property at Bunnings. He says it was a hard decision whether or not they should keep the big prawn.
Knowing that the big prawn was sitting on the roof of the old service station did present a few challenges in our thinking in terms of whether we could or should keep it. So it was certainly front and centre in our thinking in terms of how we could accommodate the prawn going forward.
The company had no idea what it was going to cost to take the prawn off the roof and renovate him, but they decided to save the very faded prawn at a cost of $400,000.
Once we took him off the roof, he didn't have a tail, so aside from putting him on the roof of the Bunnings, which wasn't really practical, we thought, well, the best way to do this is to pop him on a frame and put him in the car park and to build him a tail. It was quite a specialised job. He had to be lifted with a crane and then put onto a frame, and then the frame had to be sort of manoeuvred across the land. And we had to find the right sort of artist or specialist to be able to build the tail, and then obviously do all the artwork to return him. He was quite a sad, faded looking crustacean when we bought him, and he had to obviously have his makeup put back on and give him a new fresh cooked look.
Due to the tail design and practicalities of getting people into the head, the multinational company decided against allowing people to walk inside the prawn. Robin Osborne says he's grateful the iconic character has been saved, but he says it's not the experience it once was.
And I really liked the old one because you could go up inside it, and that was a sort of slightly crazy thing to do, whereas now there it is, you know, stuck on a satay stick, and people sort of stand around it and go, oh, isn't that amazing, laugh, laugh, click, click, and back in the car and off.
But love it or hate it, with or without a tail, the big prawn is here to stay and has certainly cemented its position as one of Australia's best-loved big icons.